Good to see everyone this morning. I hope that our breakout time of prayer was something that you found fruitful. I love those opportunities to get together with people, hear what's going on in their lives, share a little bit in that moment, pray for one another. But then my prayer is always that the Holy Spirit during the week would remind us of those things. And in that way, really being the body outside of these four walls. And so those are very purposeful moments and very, very important because the early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, fellowship, and prayer. And so those are things that need to be central to who we are. That's why we do that. But I just want to see, how's everybody doing this morning? It's first week of school. All the parents said, amen, hallelujah, get the kids out, right? Except for those who've sent kids to college, right? And it's like, oh, no. You know, me and Roxanne are like, I'm not sure that we're going to be the ones that are tearing up. I think that we're going to be privately high-fiving when our kids go. No, I'm sure it'll be a struggle for a minute. But but let me ask you, how are you this morning? Are you excited to be alive today? Are you still waiting for the coffee to kick in? You know, how are you? Listen to this. I want to read this statement, and I want to ask you, what does this statement do for you, okay? So listen, the God of the universe who created the earth, sky, moon, and stars also created you. He loves you and desires to have close fellowship with you. He faithfully watches over you and protects you. He hears your prayers and withholds no good thing from you. You are in his heart and on his mind every moment of every day. What are your thoughts when you hear that? See, I can easily show you from Scripture that everything I said there is true. The question is, do we believe that? Like, do we really believe that that is true? And if we believe that, or we say that we believe that, how does that impact our daily lives? See, the truth is that even when we say, you know, we believe that, and we would really say, yeah, I really do believe that, Vic, but we live in such a way that we don't believe that. Now, why is that? Like, I mean, really, if I believe that the God of the universe who created everything, spoke the world into existence, that he loves me, that he wants to intimately be involved in my life, that he hears my prayers, that he moves on my behalf, has every hair on my head numbered, all of those things. If that's true, and I believe that to be true, then why is my life not very different from people who live across the street who would say they don't believe in God at all? How can my life be similar to someone who has no faith, or how do I live just an ordinary life if that's true and I say I believe it to be true? Why is that? It's not a rhetorical question. I'm asking you, why is that? Why? Why does your life seem ordinary when we talk about faith in an extraordinary supernatural God? And before you start feeling really bad about yourself, listen, we all do this, right? Every one of us, to some degree, we say we believe that, we believe it's true, and then we live like functional atheists sometimes, right? Like, we don't even believe God's with us. And rather than feel condemned, I want you to know that, like, when you read the Bible, it's the story of everyone in the Bible. It's really the story of Scripture. Like, God reveals himself to people. They wake up, they believe, they see God doing things around them. They have faith for a season of time, and then the things of this world seem to pull at them, and they give their heart to different things, and next thing you know, they're grumbling, complaining, and they forget that God's even there. And some of these stories are like amazing stories, right? I mean, these are people who saw burning bushes, they saw plagues come on people, Seas were parted, rivers were parted. I mean, amazing miracles that they've seen. Manna, I mean, food fallen from heaven that they would eat, and they know it's the Lord. Like, they see all these miraculous things, and then it's only a matter of time where unbelief seems to set in and they drift, and then God has to do something to wake them up again and remind them. But it seems like it's the story over and over of Scripture, like God reveals himself, people believe, and then they seem to drift. And so I want to ask you this morning, where are you at in that? Are you in a place where God's revealed himself to you, you know that he's real, but maybe you're in a season where you feel like you're drifting a little bit? Maybe you're living your life in such a way that if someone were to look on, it really doesn't look like you're a person of faith in the God of the universe who spoke things into existence and says, I love you and I want to be a part of your life. Because as we read the story of Scripture, and I was telling you how it plays out, it culminates in that same God ultimately revealing himself, stepping out of heaven, coming to earth, and he says, Jesus who came, he brought the kingdom of God in a way on earth. So he wasn't just the Messiah, he wasn't just the Savior, he was the one who revealed the kingdom of God. And when he revealed the kingdom of God and shared the good news of the kingdom, that everybody's invited into this relationship, and Jesus lays down his life and he gives his life so that can happen, so that we can be adopted into his family. Now, when we put our faith in Christ and we believe in him, the one who died and rose from the dead, now God reveals himself to us through his Holy Spirit who comes and lives inside of us. And as the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, his kingdom, in a sense, comes inside of us. So Jesus brought the kingdom. Now the kingdom comes inside of us, and we're ambassadors, we're representatives of that kingdom. So we have to be people who live differently. We have to be people who show the world that he's alive, because according to the Scripture, if we have faith, he's alive in us. And if he's not alive in us, then we're still dead in our trespasses and sins, and we don't know him. I mean, we might know of him, we might read about him, we might give mental assent to the things that we read, but if we haven't received his life, then we don't really know him. Now, if we have received that life, then everything I read in that statement is true, and we know it to be true, and this God who spoke the world into existence personally is involved in our lives, and he loves us and wants to be a part of us, and we should be aware of his presence all the time, every day, day in and day out. But there's this other kingdom. There's this worldly kingdom. And these two kingdoms clash, and this worldly kingdom keeps us focused on the things of this world. It's almost as if, as I was reading some of the scripture we're going to go through today, I was thinking, it's as if this worldly kingdom kind of draws us to look down in a way. When I say look down, like look at the things of earth, like the things that distract us, the things that pull at us. There's so many things that kind of pull us down. And all throughout Scripture, it's like God saying, hey, look up. There's more to life. Look up. I'm here. Wake up. And there's this other kingdom. And ultimately, like if you're here last week, we talked about the fact in Psalm 39 where it says like, hey, life is short. It's but a breath. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow, it's really like the width of your hand, and it said that all our running around amounts to nothing, and life is very, very short. And God says, look at my kingdom lasts forever, and I want you to be a part of that, and it starts here, and it goes on forever. So we're going through the Psalms, and this psalm we're going to look at today, actually Levi read it during the worship time through song, and it's Psalm 100. And psalms are, they're prayers that are written. They're kind of in a poetic form. Some of them are psalms of praise. Some are psalms of lament, where they're kind of just repentant. And there's some that are just of exhortation. So this psalm is one of praise and exhortation. And look what the psalmist writes, Psalm 100. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we're his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Let's pray for just a moment. God, I pray that as we read your word and talk about it, that you'd wake us up to these truths. God, that you'd quicken our hearts and our minds. God, that you'd help us to look up. The world around us is just pulling us down. Help us to look up and to see you and see what you're doing and what you're inviting us into. And Lord, there would be a joy and an excitement maybe that we haven't had in a while. And we thank you for it. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the psalmist begins by telling everyone, shout with joy to the Lord. Look at verses 1 and 2. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with singing with joy. All right? So he begins, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. He's not just talking to the people of God. He's not just saying, hey, all those who believe or all you Christians, shout with joy to the Lord. No, he's talking to all people. God's the creator of all things. He's worthy of praise. And he's going, all the world, all the earth, and everyone on it should shout with joy to the Lord. That's his desire. If you read in the New Testament, it says it's his desire that all men and women would come to repentance and be saved. That's God's heart. When I read that, it reminded me of Romans 1, Romans 1:20, and some of you, as soon as I read this, you'll remember this verse. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. So basically, God's presence is evident to everyone through his creation. It always has been. See, all you have to do is open your eyes and you see that there's a creator behind this world. Have you ever stood at the top of a mountain? Have you ever been to Colorado, been in the Rockies, and stood at the top of the Rockies or just any mountain? And you look out and it's just like awe-inspiring, right? Have you ever had that experience? Or maybe just drive 10 minutes down the road, go to the beach early in the morning and stand on the shore and just listen as the waves crash in and just watch that, and you look and you go, man, just the power here. There's something behind this. There's a reason why the waves only go so far when there's not a hurricane, right? they only go so far and just how ordered it is. Or wake up a little bit early and go out and see the sunrise and just the painted sky or a sunset. And that's what Paul's saying in Romans. He's like, the evidence is all around. God's real. He's here. The fingerprints of the Creator, they're all around us. And so people should see that. But here's the thing. Even though they might see that and think, wow, there's something out there, right? There's something out there. It's hard for them to know about the goodness of God unless someone tells them about that, right? So they might see something that leads them to believe that there might be a God or maybe there's a God, but it's up to the people of God to tell people of the goodness of this God, the fact that this God who created everything, that he loves them, that he actually came to the earth and he loves them so much that he gave his one and only son to die for them. And so that's why it's so important for you and for me to be awake to this. You know, to not just be people who say, I believe, but be people who experience God on a regular basis, like his presence with us and know that he's with us and know that even during the most difficult of times, he's there and we can trust him. Verse 2 says, worship the Lord with gladness, come before him with singing and with joy. When was the last time you found yourself singing with joy? Just think about it. Yeah, some of us all the time, and some of you like just a few minutes ago, Vic. All right, outside of a Sunday morning, when was the last time you found yourself just singing with joy? Joy in your heart. Spontaneously singing with joy. How about this? When was the last time you shouted to the Lord? Not at the Lord, okay? When was the last time you shouted to the Lord? You go, shout to the Lord, right? With joy. And then some of you go, Vic, I'm really not an emotional person. I had a friend tell me this when I was living in South Carolina. His name is Ken Harrison. And we'd be in these, you know, worship service, and he was just like the most stoic guy you could ever imagine. Like not even like be fake singing, like the watermelon thing, you know, where you just kind of fake sing. And so I asked him one day, I'm like, dude, how come you just don't seem into it? And he's like, yeah, I'm just not really emotional. It's just not me, right? Okay, and so then, like, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks later, I'm at his house, we're watching a Gamecocks game, and the Gamecocks are terrible. They always have been, right? So they're playing someone like Vanderbilt, you know, and it's at the end of the game. I'm not kidding. So at the end of the game, and the Gamecocks score with like 30 seconds left, and Ken literally jumps out of the chair, does one of these deals, hits the ceiling fan, the globe on the ceiling fan, and it shatters in the room. And I'm just like sitting back. I'm like, dude, you're not an emotional guy. Like, what just happened there? Listen, some of us may be more enthusiastic than others, but we all get excited about something. I mean, it might be your favorite sports team. It may be watching your kids play sports. It may be watching them perform. It may be going to a concert where you experience that, and all of a sudden you find yourself, and that emotion's just kind of flowing out of you. There's something that gets all of us going. I guarantee that everyone in this room at some point or another shouted for joy at some kind of event, right? But is there anything more praiseworthy than the one who created everything? And if you imagine the one who created everything, the things that you find yourself in awe looking at, whether it's the mountains, the ocean, the skies, the flowers, and for that, the one who spoke all of that in existence to go, man, I love you, and I created you, and I made you just the way I want you to be, and I have purpose for you in this world. Like, there's things I want to do in your life, and I'm for you, and I'm not against you, and I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And I mean, what if the next time you saw that on the mountaintop or at the ocean, and you just were inspired by the awe of that, just to hear the voice of God kind of in your soul going, you know, the one who created all this created you, and I love you. See, and when we understand that, it's then when like spontaneous joy and singing and things like that can come out of us, or when no one's around and you know no one hears you and you can just shout and go, God, you're good. That might seem weird, might seem crazy, but it's not that crazy when you're at the Jags game. It's not that crazy when you're at that concert. And why is that? We all have something to sing about when we know who God is and what he's done. Listen to Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 8. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we're united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he's poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He's so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. Man, God is good. You read just those few verses, and there's so much to be thankful for. When you really understand that, there's so much to shout about. Then the psalmist says in verse 3, acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture. Acknowledge that he is God. He created us. We just read that in Ephesians 1. He called us his own children. He adopted us. We're his. We're his people, and it says the sheep of his pasture. If you were here a few weeks ago, we went through Psalm 23. We talked about the Lord being a shepherd. Shepherd takes care of the sheep. A shepherd protects the sheep, leads and guides the sheep. Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. Last week, we talked about the fact that there's times when God has to discipline us to keep us on the right track because he loves us that much. He does that. Listen to the words of Jesus describing himself as the good shepherd. John 10, verses 27 to 30. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. For my Father has given them to me and he is more powerful than anyone else. Just hold on to that for a second right there. God, creator of all things, Jesus goes, my Father has given them to me. He is more powerful than anyone or anything else. Why do we fear so much? Why do we fear for our children? Why do we fear stepping out into the unknown? He goes, no one can snatch them from the Father's hand. Verse 30, the Father and I are one. These are the words of Jesus. They're powerful. I would say if you just took those four verses there, and if you would just believe those four verses to be true, it would radically, radically change your life. It would radically change our lives if we just believed, you know, God loves us, that he gives us eternal life, that we'll never perish. He protects us. No one can snatch us out of his hand. He's the good shepherd, and we listen, and we can hear his voice, and we can follow him. That's life-changing stuff. And we settle for read a passage of scripture, say a prayer, and get on with my day. Now, don't get me wrong, that's good. But if it ends there, we're not going to be singing for a lot of joy. We're not going to be spontaneously praising God. Our eyes aren't going to be open to what God's doing all around us. And so what I would encourage you to do is what the psalmist says here in verse 4. Look at 100 verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise, give thanks to him and praise his name. Now, this is not a command for Sunday morning, all right? It's good for you to do that on Sunday morning, okay? But this is not about Sunday morning. Now, when the psalmist wrote this, their worship was centered around this temple. And so it was literal, you know, enter the gates with thanksgiving. Enter the courts. There were courts there. Enter those courts with praise. So it was kind of a literal thing for them back then. But Jesus came, and when Jesus came, and he was talking to this woman at the well, and she was going, you know, some of us, like us Samaritans, we worship on this mountain. You guys worship on that mountain. And Jesus goes, let me tell you something. There's a day that's coming, and it actually has come, when you'll no longer worship on this mountain or on that mountain, but you will worship God in spirit and in truth. In other words, you'll worship God everywhere, anywhere, at any time. And so when I read this now and he goes, all right, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. It's anywhere. It's all the time. It's when I wake up in the morning. And I try to do this, and I don't do it 100%, but I try to do this just to keep myself in the right headspace for life and life with God. Wake up, and the first thing I try to do is just, God, thank you for another day. Thank you for the breath that's in my lungs. Thank you that I have an opportunity today to love people, to share your love with people. Thank you that you're with me. Thank you that you speak to me and you lead me and guide me. Help me to not be too distracted that I miss that. Lord, help me to see the people you bring around me so that I can connect with them. And listen, I'm not gonna sit here and tell you today that like I do that and then like just, I have these miraculous encounters every day, okay? And you know, like, water comes out of a rock and like food comes out of heaven, or I have these, you know, those aren't the kind of encounters that I have, all right? But what I can say is that I'm a little more in tune with just the subtlety of the presence of God. And when I say that, I mean, I'm just aware of the fact that when I'm conversing with someone, God's there. I might not see anything special. I might not really, you know, hear anything from God, but I know that, like, he's there, and he has me there for a reason, and if I'm present in that moment, like, who knows what God might do? Just an encouraging word that comes to mind, or, hey, can I pray for you about that? And, I mean, see, that's when it says that he loves us, he created us, he's redeemed us, he's cleansed us, and he has things that he wants us to do. We always have in mind these big things, like God's calling you to do these big, you know, big things for him to change the world. You know, I want to make the world a better place, so I want to go and do this. And lately my thing has been, you know what, if you want to make the world a better place, be the better place. Like, be the better place today. If you see someone doing something and you go, man, people shouldn't speak to people that way, and you see someone who hurts someone, well, be the better place and go and encourage that person. You know, it's those simple, subtle things that God uses us for that I think when it comes to eternity, when we stand before God, we'll have no idea all these little ripple effects that we've had just by little ways that we've touched people's lives. And I think that once we start doing that, then God starts to reveal himself more. And next thing you know, I mean, who knows if he doesn't tell you to go and do something that is way out of your comfort zone. But then you're in tune, you're hearing him, and you start to believe, like, God might want me to do this. God's with me. So he says, be thankful. God, thank you for another day and another opportunity to live for you. And then look at how the psalmist concludes this psalm, verse 5. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Levi, you guys can come back up. Give thanks to the Lord. Enter his courts with praise and with thanksgiving. Why? Because God is good. We say it a lot. My hope is that that's something that echoes in our soul, that reverberates in our minds and our hearts, that we know that God is good. Even if situations in life look like chaos all around us, even when we can't figure out why we have to go through what we're going through, even when it doesn't make any sense to us why we're suffering or why we're struggling. If you were here when we talked about Psalm 23, in Psalm 23, the psalmist says, God leads us into paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then right after that verse, he says, even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. So when I read that passage, the first thing I say is like, all right, so if God leads us in paths of righteousness, and then he goes, even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. If God's leading us, why does he lead us through the valley of the shadow of death? Why does he lead us through a dark time like that? If God's good, like the scripture says, then why does he do that? And the only thing I can conclude is that in order for God to get me to where he wants me to go, that's a better place, sometimes that's the way to get there. The way to get there to that better place, to that thing that God wants to do in my life, sometimes he leads through that dark valley. Sometimes he leads through times of suffering. Sometimes it's through times of struggle. And in the midst of that, we have to remember God is good. So whatever you're facing this morning, I want you to hear that. God is good. And God's calling you to acknowledge that, to give thanks, to praise him. And so what I want to do, if you would, I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to wrap up here in just a moment. But I want to read this psalm again. I would ask you to, if you would, just in a kind of a moment of prayer. I'm going to read this psalm once again as a reminder. And then we're going to sing another old hymn, remembering what he's done. And as I read these words, just be thinking about what you believe. Be thinking about what you say you believe. And then hear the words of the psalmist. Again, this is an exhortation. This isn't a suggestion. He's like saying, this is what you're supposed to do. as a person who believes, as a child of God, this is what you're supposed to do. And as you hear that, then I'd ask you to respond however you feel the Lord leading you. And as we sing this last song, and there's communion to either side of the stage, and maybe you just want to take a moment, remember Christ who died for you, whose blood was shed, and just take a moment. Maybe it's a moment of repentance, saying, God, forgive me for not believing. Help me in my unbelief. Give me strength. If you would just close your eyes. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us. You are his. You are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. And he's faithful. His faithfulness continues to each generation. He's got you. He's got your kids. He has your future. He holds you in the palm of his hand. And he is good. God, thank you for being a good, good father and a great Savior. And God, I pray that you'd help us to be the people who shine that light, to be able to share that good news with the people around you. People look around and they see that you are real, and they don't necessarily know who you are or what to do, but God, you've left us here to point them to the direction of you and your son and to tell of the good news. God, help us to be the kingdom bringers that you've called us to be, who bring a little bit of your kingdom in the midst of this worldly kingdom and a little taste of heaven that comes to earth through us, God. God, we thank you for that. We just worship you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.